Good morning again. It's good to see everybody. Today is a great day. I know it's Father's Day, and I'm blessed. My kids are here with me, I know a lot of other people are visiting to see their fathers, their family, and be with them, and we're excited that you've chosen to be here this morning, and we can worship together. Father's Day. Why do we celebrate Father's Day? And so I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you about that this morning. We're not going to read long, lengthy passages of Scripture. And it's not that it's not appropriate, because it would be. But I just want to share a couple of thoughts again with you this morning. We celebrate Father simply because of all the energy, the care, the concern, the love that they have poured out for us in our life. I got to go and see my mother and father last night and take them, Holly and I did, to go eat. And I just look back and I think about everything that my father has done for me in my life. And I'm blessed. And I know that I'm a better, more well-rounded person because my father being in my life. And so as I was thinking the last couple of weeks about what I wanted to say, and I always like to do this, get on the internet and kind of Google a search about sayings about fatherhood. And so there's a few I want to read to you, not long ones, but just the first one was, it made me laugh, so I just wanted to share it with you. He says, be a dad. Don't be mom's assistant. That's depressing. Just waiting for her to write you a list, walk around the store staring at it, calling her from the cereal aisle to make sure you got the right thing. Be a man. Make your own list. Fathers have skills that they never use at home. He says, you run a landscaping business and can't dress and feed a four-year-old? Take it on. Spend time with your kids and have your own ideas about what they need. It won't take away your manhood. It will give it to you. I did that. I spent time with my kids, and I found out that I'm a pretty bad father. I made a lot of mistakes, and I don't know what I'm doing. But my kids love me. Figure that. Having a kid is like falling in love for the first time when you're 12, but every day. And some of these people you think, what? Chris Rock, I know he's kind of out there, but he said, when I hear people talk about juggling or the sacrifices that they make for their children, I look at them like they're crazy. Because sacrifice infers that there was something better to do than being with your children. And I thought, that's pretty good. What a blessing it is to have children. What a blessing it is to have fathers who love us and who have taken care of us and want what's best for us. Think about your fathers. Why would you want to honor your father? What has he done for you in your life that you would want to honor him? And I start looking back and I think about my life and I think about the things that my father has done for me, and I'm not going to spend 30 minutes talking about my dad and everything he's done for me. But what I want to do is share some thoughts with you about some of my friends' fathers that I've watched and I've listened to them and our conversations about their dads and what their dads have done for them. But I think about the encouragement that I received from my dad. And I look back and I've told some of these stories, and I don't remember which ones I've told and haven't told, so you may hear one again. But I remember I was in ninth grade, and at that time, Oklahoma history was, you had to take it, all right? You had to have Oklahoma history. And so the toughest teacher in my junior high school was our Oklahoma history teacher. And she always gave you this big report that you had to do. You had the entire semester to do it, but it was worth at least 50% of your grade. If you don't pass this report, you fail. You don't get to leave ninth grade. You have to stay behind. And so I'm working on it, and I've collected all these things, and I've put it in this notebook, and the notebook's about 50 pages long. And I remember I'm sitting here going, I'm ready. I'm good to go. I'm going to walk in and to Miss Leslie, and I'm going to hand her this notebook, and I'm good to go. And my dad said, did you finish that report? And I said, yep, here it is. And he looked at it, and he began reading it and looking at this, and he goes, what in the world did you do? I did my report. You didn't do anything that she asked you to do. You're trying to get someone to move to Oklahoma, not leave it. It's like, he said, all right, we're going to start over. And so we spent the rest of that day all night long, and he'd come check on me. Did you get that finished? Did you finish writing that? Did you do this? Did you get that in there? And I'm like, I'm so tired. I don't care. You've had all week or all semester, and you wait till the final day before. No, you get up. If you can't stay awake, then stand up. Don't sit down. And so we worked all night long on this project. And I handed it in, half asleep. And she gave it back, and guess what? I got a 97 or a 98 out of 100 on that report. I didn't get a zero, and I didn't have to repeat ninth grade because my dad said, no, this is not okay. We're going to do this differently. And I looked through things that he did, and A&W Tuesday nights. Do y'all remember Tuesday nights at A&W, the Coney nights and all that? As a child, we would go, and I was so excited because Dad was going to take us and do that. And my dad has just always been an encouragement, always helping me and encouraging me to be more and do. And so I'm thankful that I have a father that's done that. But I've watched, and Jerry and I have become, and Jerry, they're up because Sahara's going to camp with Little today, so they went up there to see her off. But Jerry and I have had a lot of conversations, and a lot of conversations about his dad, because I really didn't get to meet his dad and visit with him and get to know him. But he's talked to me about all the things, and one of the things that always in my mind and I think about with his dad is the respect. Jerry said all his life his dad taught him about respect. Respect for his mother. He loved his wife. He took care of her. He did everything for her. They were always together. And Jerry talked about how much he loved his mother, how much he loved his country. And he taught him to respect this country, how to respect other people. And what a blessing it is when you're taught from the time you're little that we're going to respect the people around us. And what a much better world it's going to be if we were all that way. If we had all learned from the time that we were tiny, that we were born, that we're going to respect other people around us. And so we've had those conversations, and I think what a great father that Jerry had to help him and to teach him those things. Another friend of mine I grew up with at the church. Since we were in grade school at Eastside, Midwest City, and I had the privilege of being in their home for years. And my buddy's dad was kind of a dad to me, and he always talked to him. But I watched what he did with my friend. And now my friend's dad, Toby, he was a mechanic for the state, and he worked on everything. Dozers and you name it, he could build, and engines for anything that had a motor on it, he could build it. And I watched my friend to this day that can tear apart anything mechanical and put it all back together because his dad took him out in the garage and said, this is what an alternator is. What does an alternator do? If you don't know, you can ask my friend because his dad taught him. And he taught him patience, and he taught him how to do things right. And if this piston isn't right, if this valve isn't seated correctly, you can tell by looking at this or looking at that. How many of you know how to seat a valve in an engine correctly? One or two? I don't. But I know someone that can. Because his dad said, no, we're going to sit down and we're going to do it right. And I'm going to show you exactly what you have to do and exactly what it's going to look like when you're finished. And so I watched him do those things with him and how he took every piece of that motor part. I remember going over to their house and looking at it in the garage, and he had had his engine he was rebuilding as a teenager. And I'm looking at this going, what have you done? Is that we're rebuilding the motor? And it puts it all back together, and guess what? It worked. And it was amazing to ride in that truck because that truck was fast when they finished it. And I rode in it for a long time. And it's because a father took his son and said, I want to teach you something that's going to benefit you for the rest of your life. And so I look back and I think about him and his father and what a wonderful relationship that they had. Think about the unconditional love that our fathers often give us. I want you to think for a moment about your dad. I want you to think about some things that maybe you were blessed with in your life. And you think about fathers who, this love that they've shown when they go to work 40, 50, 60, or even maybe more hours a week. Or you look up in the stands as a child, and maybe it's at a T-ball game or a baseball or a football game or a band concert or whatever you're involved in, and you look up, and the biggest fan in your life is sitting up there with a big smile, watching you, encouraging you. Or maybe he decided to be your coach when he didn't have a clue what he was doing, but he said, I'm going to help because no one else is doing it. And you think back and what our dads do for us. Maybe they're teaching you how to cook, grill something out in the backyard. Maybe they're helping you as some dads will do and fixing all the bicycles of all your neighborhood friends. They just bring them to the house and they're going to take care of that. Maybe there's something you can reflect back on and go, what a wonderful life it's been. I look at some of my other friends, and I grew up in the church there in Midwest City together. And I looked at one of my good friends was just celebrating their anniversary this weekend, and I saw his picture pop up on Facebook. And it made me think about his dad. And his dad was one of my Bible school teachers, and he taught my friend Chad all of his life what was really important. And I look back and I think, what a blessing his dad was to him and to me. And I think about Madonna, another friend of mine, and her dad, and he was known as Candyman at church. And you know what that is, right? The candy man that brings a big bag of candy with him and he goes around and hands out to the kids at the church because that's what he loved to do. And everybody, you could look in the auto or outside in the foyer and you see the kids start lining up. Even as teenagers, sometimes we would line up and wonder, all right, Connie, are you ready? Are you ready? And he'd say, all right, here you go. And going to camp. There was another Facebook post of another friend there at camp this week at Burnt Cabin, where I grew up going to camp. And sitting at the table with my friend is her dad and her mom. And it made me think when I was a child, her dad was my counselor and was always encouraging us to do what was right, what was good, and what was beneficial in our life. And I look at those things and I think, wow. What a blessing that they've been in so many of our lives growing up. And I look at all of my friends that I had growing up with, and I think how many of them are still faithful in the Lord's church because of the importance of God and His church that was placed in our life because of our fathers. And I watched them do not only Bible classes and not only those things, but in VBSs and mowing the lawn, printing the bulletin, prison ministries, gospel meetings, all of those things I watch and I look at and I think those things were so important. And I'm thankful that we had fathers that did that. Here's a quote that I found. There are few joys that can compare to seeing our children and grandchildren succeed. Whether it's on a ball field, a music recital, in an academic competition, or most importantly, in a spiritual setting, seeing a child demonstrate character and competence is a true pleasure. This victory is not something that just happens. Every right performance, every victory over temptation, every accomplishment is a result of a concerted effort to prepare for the moment of challenge. And I look back and I think of all of those fathers that took time to be in my life and to help me. They knew that there were going to be challenges in our life. and they help in every way that they could to prepare us for those challenges in our life so that we can be successful also. And so we look back and we honor our fathers and we say thank you for all the things, all the energy that you poured into our life to help us become the people that we are. And it is a wonderful thing to be blessed by a father that loves us and takes care of us. So here's a point that I really want to make with us today is this. What about our Heavenly Father? When you think about God, sometimes this world doesn't really have the picture of who God is. And sometimes we see Him as a God that is far, far away, that doesn't really have anything to do with us. A God that says, I'm not really involved in your life. A God that says, I'm just waiting on you so that I can punish you for everything that you've done wrong. And the world is filled with people who don't have a clue who He is. And they call Him God, which is right, but they never understand and they've never come to the realization of being able to call Him Father. And they're missing out on a life that He has for them. What a horrible life it would be without our eternal Father. Think about what He's done for us. Think about how much joy He's created in this world. Think about the splendor of the world as you drive around and you see different things in this world and you look and things make you just stop and stare or just sit there. Have you ever just caught yourself mesmerized by something, maybe even something simple, but yet so intricate, so beautiful? The mountains are still one of my favorite places to be. Especially when I'm sitting there and I watch the sun come up over them or the sun going down in them. And I know that you're just almost all alone up there on that mountaintop. And you look and you go, God said, let it be. And that mountain was there. And I think, what a beautiful thing. God didn't have to do that. He could have made everything perfectly flat and level. Like West Texas. He could have done that, but He didn't. He made topography, and He made things beautiful, and He made things wonderful. And even in West Texas or Western Oklahoma, there is some beautiful topography if you go and look for it. But He made the mountains. And a friend from up in Wyoming, not Josh, but another family up there, posted some pictures of wildflowers that he was just taking this past week. And you look at those flowers and the colors. How many of you enjoy looking at the colors of all those different flowers? They're beautiful. And he had, I don't even remember what kind of flowers they were, but they were some of the prettiest things I've ever seen. And you start looking at them and you... all the little differences, and they're all like have their own little fingerprint of color and texture and all of that in it. And you think God did that not because the world had to have it, but because He loves us and wants to bring joy in our life. How thoughtful is it to have a father to do that? And I told you about last year, I caught the first time in my life, I caught a golden trout. And you'd have thought I caught a new world record. It was only about this big. That big? Maybe a little bigger? No. It was really small. It wasn't but about this big. And I think everybody on the river heard me screaming when I caught it and got it in. I was so excited. It's one of the most beautiful fish I've ever seen in my life. And I look at it and I go, the reality is it really is not all that much different than a rainbow trout. But I've gotten to the point in my life, even though those trout are so beautiful, I'm used to it. I've seen so many of them. And then all of a sudden, something I've never seen, something I've never witnessed in life, I get to. And I look at it and I think, God did that. My father did that just because he wanted to bring joy in our life. How awesome is our father? I was reading a thing, you know, another kind of weird thing, but a pilot of an SR-71. I would do almost anything, not anything, but almost anything to get to go up in one of those and fly one time. But this pilot was talking about his career and he became a pilot, and they said, we're going to test you, and we're going to let you be a pilot, and here is your partner. There's the two of you. And he talks about flying this, and it was a long story about him remembering things. But one part of it, he's saying they're flying at over 80,000 feet. Okay, that's a long ways up there. That's miles and miles up. And he said, he's above everything. There's no other plane that can fly like one of those. Not that high, not that fast, nothing like those planes can do. And he said, that night I decided I was going to turn all the lights off in the inside of the plane. And so he turned all of it off. He said, because I just wanted to see what was out there. And he said, and I looked and I stared, and I saw things that I've never seen. And he said it looked like an artist paintbrush, just the galaxy, the Milky Way. He said it looked like a painter had just done this across the sky. He said it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in all of my life, and I'm just staring at it. And his partner says, you might ought to turn the lights back on. But he's like, I didn't want to. If that was the last picture, I think what he's saying, if that is the last picture I ever saw in my life, it'd be a good picture. What has God, our Father, given us and done for us? Think of the joy that He's brought about in our life. The little things like that that are not needed for survival, but God gave them to us. And how many other things has God given us to bring joy in our life that we don't think about, that we don't remember, and that we don't stop and ask Him for? And then I thought, not only those things, but I look around in our relationships, our marriage. You think about Adam, the very first time that God brought Eve, created her, and brought her to him, and said, here's your wife. And how Adam felt. How powerful would that be? And I stop and I think, how many of us have a perfect marriage? Why not? Why? And I'm contemplating this, and I'm thinking, why? And I think, do we ever stop? Because now this is a question that started with me, okay, myself. And I think, do I ever stop and start thanking God for the perfect creation that He made that I'm looking in the mirror at? And God is the one who created me. My Father created me to be better than I am. And sometimes I don't realize what He created me to be. And sometimes I don't live up to it. I don't want to get emotional, so I'm not going to talk about what I should be with my wife and what she deserves that she doesn't get. She deserves a lot better because God created me to be better than I am for her. What kind of joy has our Father given us that sometimes we don't grab hold of and say, thank you, God, for making me this, for creating me this way, for giving me these things? Maybe we should start those. Think about the family that He created. Look at this church. Just look across for a moment at the people in this auditorium right now. This is a family. This is a body. And we've been talking about this in Bible class the last number of weeks and about what the church is like. And we've used the illustration that Paul has more than once about the body and how we're all different, but we're all part of the same. And you look around and you think how wonderful and how perfect His body is that He created. How it's made for everything that is good. And you look across at people and people that have done things, and you think about the eyes and the hands and the feet and the ears and the mouths and all of those things, and you look and go, that's what we are. We're a body. And you look at the eyes, and I start thinking about that, and I was thinking about Lynn, and I get to work with Lynn just about every day. And I see her do things. If you watch some of the bulletin boards that she makes, and I'm finished and I'm looking at that going, whew, I would have never done that. Not that I couldn't do that. Now, let's put it that different way. Even if I had a picture, I couldn't have done that. And I think about the lessons and things that she teaches with her children, and I think that's an amazing thing that she has an eyes to see something simple and make it so beautiful. And she has that ability. And I look and I think, Tina has cooked some meals that I've eaten, and I look and go, that lady can cook. If you don't know that, you might ask her next time, what did you bring at the next fellowship meal? It'll be really good, I promise you. And so she has an ability that many people don't have. Now, there's others that have that ability. I'm sorry, I'm not negating anything of anyone else. But I know what she can do because I've tasted some of the things that she can do. And about ears, people that listen, and I think about some of you who've stopped me after I've taught a class or I've said something, and maybe you didn't agree, didn't understand, or wanted to add to it. Wayne stops me a lot and talks to me about some things. Kay has stopped me before and wanted to talk to me about those things. And that is the things that we need. And I think here's a body that I'm a part of that comes to me and helps me. What are we doing for each other? As a body, how are we? That our body that our Father gave us to be hands. I watched Cheryl take the kids out and work in the flower beds. Larry take I don't know how much meat home and cook it all up for a fellowship meal. Others of you that do things that we see all the time, working in the pantry or doing all kinds of things. And it's about a body that our Father gave us and added us to. The minds in this congregation, those teachers. And I watch and I listen and I think, man, how powerful. We've got some wonderful teachers in this church, in this body. It's not accidental. God gave us this body. Our Father blessed us so powerfully that He gave us a body that loves us, embraces us, and will encourage us to be all that we can. Have you ever thought what our family reunion is going to be like? The family reunion that our Father has already got planned out and prepared for us when we go home one day? Think about all of those wonderful people that are already there. And He's already created that absolute perfect home. You know this passage, but in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again and receive you to Myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way." And Thomas said, "We don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Me." You'll not taste that family reunion if God is not your Father. God loves us and has done everything for us. I want to read one more little short story and we'll end with this. September 14th, 1990, something had happened in baseball that had never happened before or since. Late in his career, Ken Griffey Sr., been a key member of the World Series championship Cincinnati Reds years before, was signed by the Seattle Mariners. His son, Ken Griffey Jr., was just starting his major league career. In the first inning of a game against the Angels, Griffey Sr. hit a home run to left center field. His son came up to the plate immediately after him and hit a home run almost in the exact same spot that his father had just done it. It was the only time a father and son have hit back-to-back home runs in baseball history. Ken Griffey Jr. said later that his father greeted him at the home plate and said to him, "That's how you do it, son." He welcomed him home and said, "That's how you do it. Well done, is what he told his son. How proud a moment that his father had probably worked with him his whole life on becoming a baseball player. And how proud he was. Proverbs chapter 23 says this, "My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. And my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right." How happy, how much joy will be in our Father's heart when we come home to be with Him. We have an opportunity to honor our Father today. Our eternal Father has loved us, has given us the best of heaven, so that we one day will be at home with Him. That's our privilege of being His children. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God, to be able to call Him our Father. If you are not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, you don't have that right. But God wants you to have that right. He wants you to be a part of His family. He wants you to be a part of that reunion. He's waiting to call all of us home to. He wants that for you, just like He wants it for all of us. If you haven't seized that opportunity to be called a child of God, why not? What greater joy can you have in this life than being a child of God? If you haven't done that, if you haven't named Christ as the Lord of your life, then why not today? Why not today? If you need to do that, do it right now. If you need to return to Him, if you need us to pray for you, then do that right now. We would love to stop and take care of that, because your Father doesn't want you lost and wandering. He wants you to know with absolute certainty that He loves you and has given everything for you. He wants that for you. So if there's anything you need this morning us to help you with, in a public way, we ask you to come right now while we stand and we sing. Of Jesus say, come unto me, I am.